to lift you high above all else. We lift you up. Seek your smiling face to be changed here in your presence. To offer my highest praise. To offer my highest. Yeah, to offer. Understanding that guards our hearts and minds. You're the one who's called us into a life of blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've called us to even pass through valleys of shadow, darkness, and death, but we will fear no evil because you're with us. We have you, Jesus. We have nearness with Jesus Christ himself, the Spirit of God within us, meaning all things on the outside are really just irrelevant compared to the grace and the glory of knowing you. Loving you and being changed by you. Being loved of God. Such a sweet, precious thing to be loved of God. And God, we ask that you would open up our hearts to more fully understand, as all God's people should, how high, how wide, and how deep the love of God really goes in Christ Jesus. Though we'll never fully understand it. Lord, let the seat of our heart just go down and be rooted in the love of God. Let the world see and understand and know your ways because they see and know and understand the love of God that comes from the people of God. And let your presence go ever before us, Father. Thank you, God. Lord, we're just going to take this holy moment to ask, please send revival on our towns, God. Fill the churches, God. People, lost sinners, Father, hungry to know a loving Savior. Fill us all, Father. Give us the power to disciple and to love them and to help this area, Father, completely turn itself over to Jesus Christ, that we would know you, that we would be wholeheartedly yours, God. Thank you, God. We just need to be asking for that more, you know? That's on his heart, and we need to connect with that. That you would raise up a generation of people who wouldn't even know you to be sons and daughters. Oh God, we just pray for families. We pray for those who are addicted. We pray for those who are lost and satisfied with it. That you would raise up just a holy dissatisfaction within them, oh God. Bring sinners to Jesus, I pray. Bring those who are lost to the place where they are found. Bring insecure hearts into the security of knowing you. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Daryl, can I tell a testimony?
Yeah.
Something happened to me this week, and kind of shook me up a little bit. As all of you know, I have this Yasha ministry. If you didn't know it was called Yasha, now you know. That's a name for Yeshua, which means he comes to deliver and to give you freedom. He's your Savior. And he gave me that name, Yasha. And so we've named the ministry of inner healing deliverance called Yasha Ministry. Well, when you step in to a ministry that God has given you, you know things are going to get shaken up, right? How many of you have stepped into something that God told you to do and then these arrows just started coming at you? Yes. Yeah. I've been on a roller coaster, as most of you know, this month, where God has just exploded this ministry. And this week, my business got attacked. Well, it tried to get attacked. my business partner tried to take me under. Tried to tell me that my God had no place in my business. Well, she didn't know who she was dealing with, did she? So, she told me one of our girls, I have a space where I rent out space. And this person does not like what you're doing. And you're going to have to stop. Stop what? What I do behind my doors with my clients is my business, right? This is my business. Actually, it's God's business. Well, she's going to leave. I said, let her leave. It's God's business. You can't do this. I said, you know what? Do you know what I told you? We've been in business together for 7 years. Do you know what I told you when I came to this building and we looked at this space? She says, yes. I told you this was all God. I didn't have a dime to my name. I was going through a horrible divorce. I was homeschooling my kids, had closed my business 3 years prior to that. And God says, you go down there and look at that place because I'm going to set you up. I went and looked at this place, and it was a place where I had rented before, so the owners knew me, and they're like, I want you here. I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to come with. I have 3 clients, and that's not going to pay the bills. And God said, no, this is your place. You pray about this. And I told my business partner, who wanted to come into business with me, she goes, please, please, I want my own business, and I admire you. I want you to be my business partner. I said, well, this is the conditions. I don't want to employ anybody. And I said, and this is God's business, and he brought this. I said, if he wants it to happen, it's going to go his way. She's like, okay, whatever you say. I remind her of that. And I said, when we decided to take on this business, God provided 10 people to come in and rent, which meant I didn't have to pay rent. He allowed me to start a business. And I know there's people in here who have businesses and have to go and rent space to start a business, right? You had to invest money to start a business. He said, here you go. Here you go. I have everything you need. Now you go out there. And I told this person, do you remember that? And she said, yes. I said, and did you remember 5 years ago you came to me and said, I don't know what's happening, but that faith you have, you need to put it in a box. I'm like, excuse me? So I reminded her again of what started the business. I said, don't ask me to put God in a box. And if those clients don't want to come to me because they don't want to hear about my faith, then I don't need them. God will bring others to me. She's like, okay, okay, okay. So now 5 years later, this week, Satan stepped out again, using her. Yeah, right? Exactly. Don't talk to this person, I was told. Let her go. Don't say anything. We'll take care of this. And if this is what you have to do, and this is the ministry God's given you, then I'm okay with it. But we just need to let her go. And you need to start paying in. I'm like, oh. Well, that's not what God said to me 7 years ago. And that's not what he told me 5 years ago. And that's not what he's telling me today. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to be praying about this. So for 2 days, a night and a day, I prayed about it. I went to that person, and she's like, oh, thank you for coming to me. I don't have a problem with you. This is fine. I want to stay. She is happier than anyone can be right now because we had a communication. I had a relationship with that person, but the devil was telling this other person for me not to reach out to her so that it could destroy my business and for me to stop what I was doing. So I went to my business partner and I said, you know what? We've been down this road many times and I'm giving you an outlet. I don't want one. I said, well, you have one and you may need to take it because this is what God's doing. And so I explained to her what my ministry was. I explained to her what was happening. And when I explained everything to her and I said, this is not your business. It's not my business. It's his. Everything we have here is his. He put it all together. Do you think you could go down the street and rent a room and pay nothing? And she's like, no. I said, where do you think this came from? Well, I guess it came from your God. I said, you're right, it did. but I want to stay with you. I said, well, if you stay with me, this is the conditions. I cannot have a covenant with somebody who's not aligned with what God has here. She says, okay. And she goes, something must have happened. What do you mean? Well, yesterday, this person wanted to leave, and she was really upset with what you're doing, and she walks in this morning and tells me she talked to you and that everything is great, and she was happy and that she was staying. She goes, that must have been a God thing. I'm like, yes, it was. What'd you do? I said, nothing. He did. He did it. And sometimes, somebody needed to hear this story. Somebody needed to hear this testimony. Because sometimes, God will send those darts and those arrows to wreck you, to mess you up. And when they come, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? What's going to define your life? You have people watching you. You say you're a Christian. That was one thing she threw at me. Your religion. Your religion. We don't want that here. We don't want the stigma of that in our business. What stigma? That we believe in God? That's a stigma? Then let's yell it out. I'm going to put a sign out front. Come here. There we go. I said, you're the one's going to put the stigma there because I'm not in a religion. She said, what do you mean? Well, I thought you're all about Christianity. And you're bringing your church in here and you're doing this and that. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm bringing hurting people together to Him. I'm in a relationship with Him, my Heavenly Father. I'm not in a religion. I'm in a relationship. And do you know all of this that happened has been a testimony to my business partner? You would think that all these years that I've been with her would be a testimony, but apparently it needed to be shaken up this week. And she's begging to stay. But I told her the conditions. And she's agreeing to them. And I told her, I said, you ever attack me again, you're attacking God, not me. And He's going to settle it with you. Remember, God is the one in control. God is the one in control, not you, not me, not the pastor, not the worship team, not the leaders. God is in control. And He wants each and every one of us to just hand it over. Because we don't do a good job when we do it ourselves. If I tried to do this week myself, it wouldn't have not gone down this way. And God would not have been able to reach the people that needed to be reached in that business. It would have been destroyed. Because that's what Satan does. He comes out to do what, people? You know it.
Kill, steal, destroy.
Exactly. Kill, steal, and destroy. And is that what you want Him to continue doing in your life?
No.
No. I know this couple over here didn't want it. I know a dozen people in here who said, no, enough. You're not welcome in my home anymore. You're not welcome anymore. And they have decided to stand up and say, enough is enough. God is the head of my home, my heart, my soul. There's no room for that anymore. So if you're in that place and Satan's talking to you, if it's anything negative, it's not of God. If it's confusing, that's not of God. God is not a God of confusion. He's clear, direct, He's giving, He's loving. And He wants you to choose all of that.
Amen.
So if you're really having a struggle right now, come see us. Come talk to us. We'd love to talk to you. Thank you.
Amen.
Praise God. Yes.
You want to come on up? Thanks for sharing. That's so cool. Let's go ahead and move things along. Hey, we are celebrating, as well as many other churches, the month of the Sanctity of Life. And so Ron has a connection with the former CareNet, but they're called Real Options now. And he's a counselor there. He was 2020's number one volunteer of the year. He counsels fathers who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation and tells them, first of all, the thing they probably never thought, you can do this. And number two, he begins to give them parenting lessons and helps them, right? And so it's really cool. But wanted to have Ron just come up, introduce what we do as an annual baby bottle drive, where we're just collecting money, spare change for Real Options. They're a ministry that we support monthly as well. But go ahead and take it away, Ron.
Okay. Thank you, Darrell. So actually, this is part of Sanctity of Life Sunday. Which is sort of a national day, right? It was actually last week, so we're a week behind. But Daryl wasn't here, so we said, well, we'll wait for Daryl to come back so he can benefit from us as well. January 22nd, 1973. What happened? What? Roe v. Wade. Abortion in the United States became legal. January 22nd, 1984. Not yet. January 22nd, 1984. What happened? Sanctity of Life Sunday. Ronald Reagan designated the third Sunday of January as Sanctity of Life Sunday. So we have abortion being legalized, and then we have, you know, sort of a recognition, I guess, of all of the unborn. Okay, Alex, you can go ahead with that slide now. So since Roe v. Wade, this is hard, 61.8 million. This is medical abortions. But look at the number of chemical abortions, 560 million. That's over 14 million a year. You know, there's a political side to this. You know, you've all heard for the right to life, you know, and people want to get rid of Roe v. Wade and, you know, all the, you know, the right to life versus the pro-choice people, all the political nature of it. But there's really the human side as well. If you could go to the next slide. If you have an unplanned pregnancy, picture yourself as a 16-year-old or 18-year-old, 20-year-old, whatever, and it's an unplanned pregnancy. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? And you know, if you look at this list, this is the number, the multiple reasons why individual human beings choose abortion. It's things like, you know, not being financially prepared, bad timing, partner issues. You know, I don't have to read these to you. You can go down and see them. And in most people who choose to have an abortion, multiple reasons on this list and potentially more come into play. So it's a human, you know, we got to forget the political stuff for a second and look at the individuals who are going through that situation. So then we ask, okay, so what can we do to help? If you go to the next slide, Alex. So if you know anyone who has an unplanned abortion, there is help available, or an unplanned pregnancy, there is help available through organizations like Real Options, and there are others. If you know of anyone that is going through this, strongly suggest that you get or refer them to a Christian pregnancy ministry like Real Options, where they'll get education, parent counseling, and so forth. And we can also support Real Options. There's three drives each year, as you know. We've talked about this before. There's the baby bottle drive that happens now that we'll be introducing today. In May, there'll be the Walk for Life, and then there's the big banquet in October. So we have a short video now. So Alex, if you would play that, and then we'll finish up.
We all want the chance to chase our ambitions. However, unexpected events can make it feel like it's impossible to succeed. When a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she may feel like her life is over and that she only has two options, abortion or give up her dreams. That is not the case. Our mission is to show our clients all their options and help them understand that they can still thrive. With our ultrasound service, we can show them the new life that is growing inside. When clients see the ultrasound image, the baby becomes real, more than just a bunch of cells. And 80% will choose life. We offer educational and support programs that teach new moms and dads how to flourish as parents. For those broken from an abortion in the past, our post-abortion ministry can help them accept forgiveness so they can move on to a brighter tomorrow. This is where you come in. You can help women and their babies to thrive. We don't accept any government funding. We depend solely on our donors. Won't you join us and become part of this exciting ministry? Participate in our fundraising events. Become a donor. Volunteer. We can use whatever talents God has given you. Together, we can help provide a better future for our clients. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11.
So I have two asks of you this morning. One is, if you know of anyone that has an unplanned pregnancy situation, you know, if you look at the list of things as to reasons why people choose abortion, a lot of those things can be resolved. And there is support, there is education available. So refer them to an organization like Real Options if you know anyone. And then the second ask is, please support Real Options financially. You guys have been like super, you know, I've been involved in 4 years and this church just continues to outpour. And I just want to thank you for that. So we're going to introduce the bottle drive. If you could just go to the, yeah, there you go. So we're going to do it from today through February 28th. So we have these bottles. So Carver and Daryl, if you guys could help. Yeah, we have these bottles. How many of you participated in the bottle drive in the past? Okay, so you all know what it's like. It's not really much, really. You have a bottle. You take it home. You can fill it with all kinds of things like change, dollar bills. $100 bills, checks. Don't put your credit card in. I don't think you're that fit. But anyway, and what you do is just, you know, let it collect over time till the end of February. February 28th will be the last day. And if you can just bring them and leave them in the back of the sanctuary on the table. I go to Real Options each week, so I'll pick them up there. So if you would raise your hand if you want a bottle, Daryl will and Carver will get it to you. What's that? So if you just, you know, as you go along, leave your bottles up the back when they're full, and I'll get them to Real Options for you. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for your support, and happy sanctuary, sanctity. You know what it is, this Sunday. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Just a short one, just because? I mean, or we could just take the rest of the 20 minutes, your choice. Right here.
Okay, God always has you where he wants you to be. A few years back, about 4 to 5 years, I was going through barber school. And so I was employed by this barber, and we were moving to New Hampshire, Kim and I, so I told him that I was moving to New Hampshire. And he says, well, I'm going to have to let you go. So this was on a Thursday, so I was supposed to be there on a Friday. And so what I was doing Uber at that point in time. And so God put you where you're supposed to be. So on that Friday, I was doing Uber, And I picked up this young girl, 20 years old, in Waltham, and then I hit destination. Destination was Planned Parenthood. So Holy Spirit kind of poked me and said, inquire. So I inquired. I asked, you going for, you know, a checkup? No. I'm ashamed to say why I'm going. So I said, how far along are you? She says, 3 months or 12 weeks. So I pulled up on my phone a picture of a 12-week fetus. And I said, they're not going to show you this at Planned Parenthood. And so we continued towards Planned Parenthood. And the good Lord spoke to me with Bible verses and stuff like that. I knew you before in your mother's womb. And then I had her take ownership of the baby and said, well, if you had a boy, what would you name him? You know? And then if you had a girl, what would you name her? And by the grace of God, he had that car turn around, brought her back to where I picked her up, and I gave her my phone number. And I said, if you don't want the child, I'll take the child, you know? And so I got a call when she was in her 7th month saying she was having a boy, and asked, oh, that's great, what you gonna name him? And she said, Matthew. And she said, well, would you name him for middle name? I said, well, Isaac, you know, because Isaac was spared from his dad, you know. And God said, don't hurt the boy, I'll provide the sacrifice. So then I get a call. I was at football practice coaching from her saying 2 weeks after he was born. And I said, well, can I see him? She said, sure, we'll set that up. So my wife and I were going to an awards banquet for my high school wrestling team, undefeated team. So that was in Waltham. So we worked out that same day, afternoon, to see the baby and actually get to hold him, you know, and then go to the awards banquet. But God does use everybody. You know, it's just educating them with pictures and that, you know, even though I believe the heartbeat is somewhere around 10 days or something like that. But that's a praise towards God, nothing to me. I just did God's work. He put me right where I was supposed to be on that Friday. I was supposed to be cutting hair, but, you know, he put me in that vehicle to save that child through him, obviously, you know. So you are where you're supposed to be.
That's right. Awesome. Very cool. We're not going to preach a 10-point sermon today. And everybody, and all God's people said amen. Yeah. We just have, you know, just 4 or 5 pages is all to go through. All right, Holy Spirit, speak, please. So, got it. All right, we're talking about hearing God's voice. We're talking about how his voice is our choice. We're talking about how we prioritize God's voice in our life, and that's how we hear his voice. When we don't care is when we're not hearing most of the time. Now, God has the ability to speak to us when we don't want to hear, when we don't think we can hear, when we're in panic, right? He's such a loving, gracious God. He does. But who likes to live that way? No hands. That's great. That's wonderful. This whole point of this series is to cultivate our ears to hear the voice of God as he speaks to us, because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word, finish it, proceeds forth of the mouth of God. We have to be seeking the mouth of God, right? We have to. The voice of God is speaking. Do we care to listen, right? All right, cool. So I want to take you to Ephesians 3:7-9. And, you know, Chris did such an awesome job of opening that topic of purity and how that tunes our heart to be able to hear, because, you know, we've discussed it for 2 weeks, and that is, who will ascend the mountain of the Lord, right? It's those with a clean hands and a pure heart, right? Okay, and then we also know that in Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, right? There's a connection between purity and the Father, right? And if anybody tries to sell you short on hearing God's voice in your life, minus the purity piece, You're getting sold half a product. Yes. And we prayed for revival today, right? And I believe that's God's heart, you know, for America. I believe it. And we've had, over the centuries, two of them start in New England, right? Purity is a big piece of that, not from a condemnation point of view. We're not banging people in the head, you better be pure. We're talking about purity as a rescue. It's a joy. It's the proof of, it's the fruit of the fact that the Holy Spirit is in our life. And within purity comes the ability to see God and to know him rightly. Otherwise, the only God you're knowing or serving is the one that you're constantly apologizing to and trying to earn his approval. And the world doesn't need someone else to try to earn the approval of, right? The world needs a Jesus that they understand, I already have his approval. Now it's just a matter of walking in the fullness of what he died for me to have, right? To give what we kind of said it during worship, to live out what he died and paid for us to have. Thank you, Father. So, you know, my warning from the Holy Spirit today as I was going into this, and the great news is I don't think we're going into it, is that not to allow or to leave anybody with any thought of that this is about condemning and giving leverage toward the topic of purity and holiness, okay? It's all about walking in what he wants. He paid for it so you could have, okay? To encourage you to have all that Christ died for you to have. Yes? All right. And the other thing that I felt like he was saying was to stop defining yourself by the things you've experienced in your life. You define yourself by what he went through, and then you define yourself by who he is in you. It's not based on your struggles. It's not based on your past. And if there's any part of you that's like, you know, I've come this far because of my past, that hurt, that rejection, that lie, that abuse, that, no, that's not who you are, right? That's not who you are. That's who you were. And do you have any idea what he wants for you to be? Right? The purpose and the destiny that he has for each one of us. And I'm not talking about these, like, we're going to be these world-known great people. No, more than likely, the greatest are going to be the least in here, right? Right, from a visual perspective, but the freedom that he has for us, the influence that he wants to give us, over people, over businesses, over families. You know, the kids are learning today about the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that grows up to become a giant tree, a great tree, right? And the animals come and they build their nests there. And you think about the kind of influence that a tree has in all of these birds and squirrels' lives, right? Like, others can live because someone planted that seed. And that seed grew up to become something so much, right? Families are born and influenced in that tree, right? They're protected from predators in that tree. Pieces are broken off so that they can build these nests and they can, right, house this thing and protect from the wind and the, right? I mean, there's just so much analogy that we can pull out of that topic, right? And all I feel this real drive this morning when I felt like the Holy Spirit was talking about the tone of the day is, do you understand what you could have in your life if you could just understand who Jesus is to us and what he wants to be through us? And all the other stuff is just brokenness getting sorted out in him. And he's doing it, isn't he? Yeah? Raise your hand if in the last, say, 6 months, you've had the Lord just sort of realign all the pieces in a way that you never thought was going to work. Yeah? He's sorting this stuff out. He promised us he would do that. He's the author and the finisher, Hebrews 2, right? He started an amazing book of you, and he's not stopping until he gets all the way through to the end, right? Yeah, this is so fun. Ephesians 3, verse 7 to 9, and I'm actually going to read out of the King James, first time in a really long time. And all the King James lovers were like, yeah. But I couldn't find any other version that said it quite right. So we're going to have to put up with some THs, okay? At the end of verbs. But whereof I was made a minister, this is Paul speaking, according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So you understand this. Paul was called into something that he was not previously called into because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in his life, right? We were all called to be this model of a person who by the power of God was called to be something that we're not. Yes? Man, I like this so much better than let's all talk about our problems and just pray that God fixes them. What if we just flip that on its head and we're like, you know what? He's got this powerful thing that he wants to do in us, and all we have to do is just model ourselves after the gift and the calling and the power that he has for us. Let's go, right? And work for that. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints. It just sounds so holy. Yes, amen. I'm a nobody for him. Amen. Yes. That's not what he's saying. You know what he's saying? He's like, yes, I was a sleazebag. But moving on, I was called by the power of God to be something else, right? By his grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship, the koinonia, for those of you who love Greek, of the mystery from which the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Like the Lord has got this mystery that he's calling us into fellowship with him to understand and unfold. And this is what I'm trying to get to. Like there's a world that needs to understand that mystery. Right? There are children in our very homes that need to understand the mystery that goes along with the fellowship of knowing him and being set apart and being launched into destiny, right? And if we're not doing that, the world is just telling them, you're worthless, you're just average, you're pick on all their weaknesses, right? And we've got to, like, we adults, parents, grandparents, we have to get past the I'm not worthy piece of this story. We have to. You know, we went through all the deliverance discussions, and many of you loved it, and some of you hated it, and some of you are, like, right in the middle, and I really don't care. Honestly, we've got to get over ourselves and our struggles and where we're falling short and what we don't know, and I should be so much farther along. Who the heck cares? We have a world, we have children, we have a community, right? We have to know and be able to deliver the mystery to other people. What is this fellowship that we were called to according to God's grace and power, who, you know, by Jesus, it was hidden in God, but you know what? We are the ones who are pulling it open and saying, it was hidden, but now this is it. This is the love of God. This is what the love of God can do. Amen. Thanks, Stu. I can move on. the last thing I'm going to do, and then I'm done. I promise. I'm going to read you something here. I don't even know where I want to go with it. But Proverbs 20, verse 4 to 6, okay? You guys love Proverbs? All right. I pulled something out that I felt like the Lord was sharing with, those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. What the heck? I want to tie this into man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. We are feeding on the voice of God in our life, right? And yes, there is a time for crisis prayer. Oh my gosh, help me. But that's not our lifestyle. And someone just needed to hear this. Those who are lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. When I need to hear his voice, it's because I sowed faithfully to knowing him, to hearing him, to searching him out, so that when the harvest time came, I wasn't like, oh, I got nothing. Ooh, yay. All right, verse 5. Though good advice lies deep within the heart, A person with understanding will draw it out. Who has the good advice for our life deep within his heart? It's not a trick question. God himself. I'm taking the proverb. I'm not changing anything. I'm just putting it on the table, like speaking from a God who is just saying, I want to have a relationship. Right? If you're lazy, you're not going to have any food. And if there's good advice that lies deep within a person's heart, then someone with understanding is going to draw it out. And if you don't have understanding, you're not going to draw it out. Right? Okay, can I keep going? It's the same chapter. I'm not skipping verses. Many will say they are loyal friends. This is Jesus speaking in this moment, okay? Not in Proverbs, but Jesus is speaking. Many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who's truly reliable? Can you hear the heart of God in the context of what I'm trying to get to here? I'm not twisting scripture. All I'm saying is, hey, we can sing and dance and say, I am a child of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend, right? And he's like, yeah, you are a friend. That's a fact. But many will say they're friends, but will they be reliable? No condemnation, please. This was not a, oh, no, it's a, okay, I'm free to be reliable. I'm free not to be lazy. I'm free to be wise and to search out and draw out the good advice of my Father. I'm free. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit in me to do that. I was set apart and set free, and I don't have sin holding me back. I have no weight. I have no sin, no snares trying to stop me from running this race that was set before me. I am free. I will go do these things. I will live out relationship with my Father, and I will have food when the harvest season comes. That's what he died for, that you could have. Dang. Sure beats the heck out of, would you like Jesus to come into your life so you don't have to go to hell? Sure, but it's just one part of it. That's like, would you like to buy a car so you don't have to walk? Well, yeah. Okay, I'm beyond that now. Well, right? Oh, there's so much more, right? There's so much more. So much more. I think I'm good. I think I'm not actually going to take this any deeper because I'd like to come to a time of prayer. And, if you want more, roughing up, we'll have to do it next week. Come back. Same bat time. So just ask yourself this. Just ask what the Holy Spirit's doing here, okay? Who is it that needed to hear, and I don't want to know. I really don't. Who is it that needed to hear that you're to stop defining yourself by the things that happen to you? And to start defining yourself by who Jesus is and what he did for you. That you are an object bearing and carrying the love of God. Like, your very life is here because he wants you to express and to feel and to know the love of God. And then who is it here who needed to hear just the angelic voice of God say to you, stop being lazy. Someone needs to just, don't own this thing, call yourself a lazy person. Just say, you know what? I'm done with being mediocre. I'm done. I'm done being lukewarm. Right? And then how many of us needed to hear today that the good advice of the Lord is deep, and if we will dig into it, we will draw it out. God the Father is saying, come, draw it out of me. I'm not making it surface deep for a reason, because I want you to come all the way into my heart and experience so much more than the advice. I want you to touch the love that goes with the advice so you not only know it and hear it, you feel it. Yes? It's an invitation. It's an invitation. I'm going to just open up the prayer, and I would love it if maybe a couple of us would pray this thing out, but that we would be reliable to pursue him, and that we would encounter the fullness of the calling of God, the power of God, which is at work in us, so that we can know that mystery, and that we can then begin to reveal it to others, who they are and who Christ made them to be, right? Stop calling out people's weaknesses and sins and start calling out their potential. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you come and move. We've not had enough time to really bake this topic in well this morning, but you're so much bigger than limited time. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray that even as people pray this out today and as they walk this out starting Monday, that, Lord, there's a love and a calling that's so much deeper than forgiveness of sin and the grace to get up and keep trying. Oh God, that you have a power at work within us, a freedom at work within us, that you've called us to run and not to drag. You've called us to run. You've called us to lay aside every weight, every snare, every soul tie, every sin that so easily ensnares us and holds us back. Holy Spirit, may the freedom of God just become this pursuit of our life. May the love of God become the pursuit of our life. May the voice of God become the very food that we need to get through a day, Father. And may the fruit of our life, Father, be something that others really, truly want to be a part of. Thank you, God. Who feels led to maybe add on to that as a family here? Just got to use this for the internet, people.
Thank you, Lord, for moving in each heart here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your touch, cleansing and purging us and drawing us closer to you. You are the way, you are the truth. It is through you we get true life. Bless each person here, touching each of us, including ourselves. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Some of you are like, what just happened? He's taking us deeper into the love of God.
Lord, we ask that you just watch over each one here today. We ask that you would help separate us and that we wouldn't see each other from our actions or the sins we've done. God, we just ask that you would that allow us to see each other and ourselves as our identity through you with Christ Jesus. God, you just love us so much and just work in each one of us today through the week. Help us to lift each other up and just be supportive. We ask that you just love on us, God, all the time. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for Jesus and for the blood of Jesus to save us and to not allow us to live the way we have, and there is true freedom through you and through Jesus' blood. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thanks, man. Thank you, God. Anyone else?
Dear Heavenly Father God, we come before you and we praise you for everything that you are. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And I feel the Lord is saying today that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, his face was beaming so much, so radiant, that he had to cover it with a veil. Lord, I pray that you remove the veil. I pray that you remove anything from our eyes. I pray that you remove anything from our hearts. I pray that you burst through shields of the occult. I pray that you free this nation. I pray that you know, we've got a teapot, and you're giving us an ocean, Lord, of your spirit. Break forth, Lord. We give you all the power. We give you all the glory. We give you anything we can do here from earth, Lord. And I pray that you would release experiences of you for everyone in this place. I pray that you would release divine encounters that we can't even escape from. I pray that you bring those people who are at home right now or in their cars or wherever they may be. I pray that you wake them up with your Holy Spirit and you bring them before your throne, Lord. And I would be remiss if I did not pray for our children today, Lord. I pray a special hedge of protection around all the children around the world, but our children here, my children at home. You care so much about children, Lord. Use us this week and every day and every week and every year. Use us in your battle. We pray this in Jesus' strong name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I grew up in the Midwest, and the primary thing there was in the farmers focusing on their crop. And they were accused for a long time of being isolationist because they didn't want to make their primary duty getting in, wrapped up in the wranglings between Washington and London and Paris and Berlin and so on. They focused on their crop. They knew that they had to have a crop come in at the right time, that it needed to be a healthy one, perhaps even a bumper crop. And they also knew that in the excess it would be given to nations where the ground had been parched and people were dying. Amen. Father, I ask you to give each one of us a crop to focus on, to be loyal towards, and to be reliable about.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, God. Amen.
So, each one of us has a story, a testimony, right? So, we've all overcome it. We're all here. We all have heat. We all have clean clothes. We all have this family. So, we all have a story. We all have a testimony. And we get to decide whether our testimony has broken us or made us stronger. Because either way, we're right. Right?
Yeah. Yep. You're right.
So my testimony, my story has not broken me. It did for a bit. But I have such an advantage now. And God can use that to help us just at the, like Steve was saying, just at the right time, he's going to insert me, and no one's going to be able to speak to that circumstance better than me because of how strong I am due to my testimony.
Amen.
So no, we're not broken.
No.
Unless we, that's the choice we take.
Amen. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you, God. Amen. If you were Paul, how would you introduce yourself? You were a former Christian killer. Or are you someone called with a purpose and a ministry, right? Amen. God, just bake this into our hearts, I pray, this week. I know that you are the God who's so capable of making everything else that we encounter this week a continuing conversation that was started here today. And that's really what we want, is that every person here would have conversations with a God who loves them, that Father God would share his voice and his advice and his encouragement with each one of us. So Lord, I'm looking forward to hearing what's going to come out of those conversations. We love you, God. Thank you for the liberty that you have designed for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, guys, you are dismissed. I'm sorry it's short, but it's sometimes that's the best, right? Amen.